Orchestra. Just wanted to say that last Sunday we felt privileged to take the chapel services in Gore, and what a wonderful turnout from our church. We had this great choir of about 12 or 13 of us, and Margaret, didn't they do amazing, absolutely amazing stuff? So thank you for not just your support, but for your ministry to those dear old folk last week. It was kind of special. I kind of sensed that God might have been in it too. You know, did you? It was just a neat time, it really was. Well, I understand that Ross is on his way to Israel with a trade delegation. Whenever you go to Israel, it can be a dangerous place. I'd like us as a family to pray for one another, and maybe some things happening in the world. America has entered into a four-year interesting period with the new president, Donald Trump. Fights, violence, protests around the world, a lot of reaction. You can look at that two ways, bad or good. I actually think it's good. I'm not saying that all that's happening is good, but I think there are reactions. I think at least people are now awake. It's time to pray. God is at work, you know, in our world. And sometimes we sort of think, oh, what's happening, or why is that happening? It's happening because he says so. Do I understand all of that? Do you? Probably not. But at the same time, it gives us opportunity to pray for God's work to be done, his peace to rule and reign in people's hearts. So I'd like us to pray for a little bit. Feel free to jump in, to pray out loud. We're a relatively small family here. Anything that's on your heart, good to pray for Mike's Margaret, for Ethel, for Ross, any others that you know that need God's touch at this time. And if it's not for public, that's okay. Just pray quietly that it might be so. So let's enter a time of prayer together, and then I will conclude.
Gracious Father, this morning we remember our elders, and we just commit each one of them to you this morning. We think of John and Lynn and Jim and Judy, and we just commit each one of them to you, Father, that you might bless them this year, not just only as members of the session, but also in their families. And we just thank you for them, and just commit them to you again this morning, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we want to lift America to you today and ask, Father, that you bring a peace upon that country, that instead of all the fighting and rioting, that people will turn to prayer and seek your faces to the country, that this would become a good country. Lord, we pray for all of the unrest that's there and the tension that's going on right at this time, that, Lord, somehow or other be a calmness that comes upon that. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to President Trump and speak into his heart. And Lord, all the things that you want for that country, I pray that they would come to fruition. We know that you put this guy there for a reason. And Lord, we really want to ask for your blessing on the country.
Father, he's raised expectations for a lot of people that want to have hope, that have been hurt in recent times financially and jobs and in their families, and we pray that that whether they get these expectations met, we don't know, but Father, we pray that they will find you that their hopes will be rewarded as a result, that because they can only find peace when they find you. And we pray for that whole country, Father, that your spirit would continue to stir up and awaken the people to who you are again, and to draw them back to yourself. And whatever means that takes, Father, that we pray that your will be done.
Christine Johnson and their two wee children as they travel back to Burkina Faso, Lord God. I just thank you for the time of restoration that you gave them in New Zealand over the last 9 months. And we just pray that you would go before them, Lord God. They're not 100% sure of what they're going to be coming up against when they get back to Burkina. So I just pray that, that you would just guide them and teach them and that there would be people in the community that would stand up to say, hey, I can fill that role, or I want to work alongside you. I just pray that as they go back to Africa with a second child, that you would make things smooth for them, Lord God, that you would lay a straight path for them, Father, to keep them and keep them safe. And we also ask for the safe return of Mr. Elliot, who still has not been returned, Father God, who was taken last year. We just ask your protection over him, and may he be such a witness to those that who are going captive. Lord God, use him for your purposes.
God, he's been talking about phones this morning, and Lord, I just got a text from my husband to go and put down a beloved family pet for the Hayes, Father, and this family in particular is going through a bit of a hard time with just being unwell, and Lord, Gavin's been up here all week and just been praying that this little dog will hold on, but I just pray that you're with them this morning, Father, that as farmers on the land we get so attached to our animals, and so I just pray that you are to be around them.
Father, we do pray for all of us in our parish who are struggling with various illnesses and other things at the moment, and that your healing hand will be upon all who need that special touch, and that you would help us to be sensitive to each other's needs and to see where we're able to help. Lord, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we continue to pray for all the people who live in our community, those that we rub shoulders with from time to time, those that we may see every day. And Lord, because of what we carry, because of the Spirit who lives within us, as we make those connections with people, Lord, we pray that something of your grace and your mercy and your peace will touch and reach out to those lives, that they might ask the questions of why and who we are, what it's really all about. And Lord, that you would cause a curiosity, that you would cause a hunger, you would cause a thirst for your touch and your goodness in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, that at one time revival was experienced in this area. Lord, do it again, we pray. As we commit these thoughts and prayers and concerns and cries, spoken and unspoken to you, Lord, that you would hear, that you would answer. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You didn't know that, didn't you, that revival happened here? Lord, do it again. And of course, when revival happens, things have to change. So, it's a scary prayer, but a good one. This morning I want to read to you just really one verse for our scripture reading today from John chapter 20. And it's some words that Jesus said. You know, when Jesus says some things, they're pretty important, right? I believe so. They're in red letters in your Bible. And this is what Jesus said to Mary as she came to the tomb after he had been risen from the dead. Now, risen from the dead is enough to blow most people's minds. But when a woman is standing there and he speaks to her, first she didn't recognize his voice. And when she did, I can't imagine what her response was. But this is what Jesus said to her. He said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but to my brothers. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And so Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And then he had these things to say to them. Wow. I go to my Father, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. This morning we start a little series that I sense that would be a good thing. It's not going back to go over the simple things again. It's a reminder to us, and perhaps I trust an expansion for us, of the things that we believe. The challenge for those of us in our kind of church is that we have a checklist of the things that we believe about God. And we can go and we can say, yes, I believe this, and yes, I believe that. Tick that one off. Yes, I believe this. Yes, I believe he rose from the dead. But to engage with that is a whole different story. And it's my prayer, as we go through these over the next few weeks, that we will engage with this. That you would allow the Spirit of the Lord to rekindle again the freshness of this, the reality of it. And today it's a really cool subject, really. Wow. Father Almighty. And so we're going to have a look at have you got the Apostles' Creed up there for us, Joe? We're going to run out of time, but I think we'll take the time to say this morning. Is that all right? Can we say this together?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And we just leave that last slide up, Joe. Great. Thank you. Last week, if you were here, spoke about the hot button things that were on the day when this creed was put together as a kind of a statement about the essentials of the Christian faith. The hot button issue was really about Gnosticism. It was a heresy that said that, you know, the earth was bad and spirit was good. And this was that they didn't believe in the resurrection. There's all kinds of stuff that they didn't believe in. And so this statement was put together to say, this is what we believe about this whole thing called Christianity. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I never behold the heavens filled with stars that I do not feel that I'm looking in the face of God." I can now see how it might be possible for a man to look down from the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say, "There is no God." A creed, as I said, is not the same as engaging with the one that the creed talks about. It's like a sign. It's like the signs that we talk about of the Spirit. They are signs, like speaking in tongues or healing. They are signs that point to the one who is the giver of these things. And so it is that a creed just is a sign that goes forward in that way. J.I. Packer, anybody know of that theologian? Great, great man of God. This is what he said. "You sum up the whole of New Testament teaching in a single phrase. If you speak of it as a revelation of the fatherhood of the Holy Creator, in the same way you sum up the whole New Testament religion, if you describe it as the knowledge of God, as one's Holy Father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctively Christian as opposed to merely Jewish, is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God." Father is the Christian name for God. So we're going to ask two questions this morning, relatively briefly, if you're going to bear with me with this. And the two questions are, what do we mean by the term Father? And the second one is, what do we mean by the term Almighty? So that's pretty easy to remember. Father, Almighty. I believe in God. Father, Almighty. Father. Interesting. This metaphor of Father is used in the Old Testament, I looked this up, 15 times. Jesus used the term Father in the Gospels 165 times. If Jesus used the term Father, it must have some importance, right? And most of the times, all but 11 of those 165, they were the term Abba. Respectfully, Daddy. Papa. The intimate name for God. It doesn't get much more intimate than that. It's not a translatable word from Hebrew. It's Abba. It was his favorite term for God. And all the way through the pages of the New Testament, all of the apostles, all of the writers of the New Testament referred to God as Father. Now, there was a time, and I think it's still around, where, and this could be a hot button issue, I hope not, but I'll press it anyway, where a feminist idea was to say, well, theologically speaking, God is spirit, and so he doesn't have gender. So we should not be calling God Father, because that means it's a man. And perhaps we could call God Mother, and that would be okay, because he's, you could call God Mother, Father, Parent, oh God, our Parent, sounds really nice. I just don't want to mess with that and go there. God is Spirit, but there's something significant about the word Father. There really is. And just to touch on one or two things about it, Father really means originator. In the story of creation, he is the father of all creation, of all created things. God is the creator of all creatures. So when the Apostles' Creed speaks of God the Father Almighty, he's really speaking of God the Creator. And so that's why we changed the wording a little bit over time from maker to creator. He has in mind the fact that we in all things depend every moment on God the Creator for our existence. Malachi 2:10, it says, have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? One of the 12 about fathers in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Paul preaching in Athens, he said, we are his offspring. We are God's offspring, given the idea of Father in that way. So some stress that because God is Spirit, or God is Father, and everyone is created after his image, then we're all saved. We're all his children. We are his children in terms of creation, but not in terms of relationship. And there's a couple of scary passages in the scripture. One of them is in 1 Corinthians 1. The message of the cross is foolishness. Some people don't get it, can't understand it because it's not revealed to them. Perishing warns about the unrepentant. He said, you are storing up wrath against yourself on the day of God's wrath. That's not good news. That's not good news. But you have to know the bad news of the gospel to appreciate the good news of the gospel. So it's not about universalism. By the way, this is one of the hot button issues in the thinking of our 21st century. It's called everybody gets to go to heaven. Just many paths up the mountain. Same mountain, many paths. Just climb on one, you'll be okay. Islam, Buddhist, Shinto, you name it. That kind of universalism comes from that thinking. And that's why I believe a long time back, and God in his wisdom prompted people to put together the Apostles' Creed that says, I believe in God the Father. It comes a little bit different. I think there's more than one or two meanings here. And let's look at them just briefly. God is the Father of the Son. In the Trinity, which I would love to talk about at some stage, but wow, that's hard to cope with. But in the Trinity is a relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. Amazing, amazing thing. And as I said, on earth, Jesus called the one he served and lived for and lived out his life for as the human Jesus. He called him my Father. And he prayed to him as his daddy. So he had this kind of relationship. So on the one hand, you've got the Son who loves the Father. And on the other hand, you've got the Father who loves the Son. If you can understand that, would you come after the service and help me to understand that? Because I don't. But I know this, that it can get confusing and say, well, if there's the Son and the Father, how on earth is, and there's the Holy Spirit, how can God be one? The miracle of the incarnation, the story of Christmas, the fact that the eternal Christ came into the world as Jesus the baby, still enough to blow your mind. So the relationship that Jesus had is as the Son to the Father. This is my beloved Son, said God at his baptism. Remember that? This is my beloved Son, the only begotten one. Here's the interesting thing that I think is important for us to get hold of with this, is that he is the Son of God in his humanity, but it's a relationship. Think of how Jesus went out into the hillside, and he went to quiet places, he went to thin places, and he communicated with his Father God. He all the time spoke about his Father. So if Jesus had this relationship of Father, of intimacy with him, then perhaps we can too. And that's our second point, I think. The fatherhood of God is related to us as Christ followers. It doesn't make sense to people who don't know God. That's why a Christian can say Father. But there's a huge implication in it, because a lot of people, they're not the thems and us, people that don't know God. They're orphans. We're all orphans that need to come home into relationship with the Father. The prodigal son is one of the most amazing stories, I believe, in the whole Bible, because it's a story about the Father more than it is about the sons. It's a story about the Father God, who gives this incredible privilege to his children to wander off, to live out their will, And then he welcomes them back. And he said, this is what God is like. This is the Father. He's always watching and always waiting. A well-known scripture verse. I want to share this with you this morning. John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born, not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. There we become his kids, children of God. That's that relationship. And that scripture that I read to you, that Jesus said to Mary, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. As disciples, they get to appreciate that they are brothers with Jesus. Fascinating relationship. So, one of the things that I take from this very practically is that we need to get on with each other, folks. You know, we're brothers and sisters. We're family. Doesn't matter where you go on the planet, we're family with one Father as Christ followers. And I'm sure it's been your experiences, it's been mine. When people come from all over the place, or we go somewhere and we meet up with these people, what's the relationship we have? Brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can talk about and brag about our wonderful Father. That's what it means to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty. What do we mean by the term Almighty? Almighty. Sounds really good, doesn't it? Almighty. I believe in the Father Almighty. It really means the omnipotent one. Big word. Can anybody help me tell me what omnipotent means? There's not a test, that's right. What's that? He knows everything. That's called omniscience, but close. What's that?
Is it one? It's
omnipotent.
It's overall.
Powerful, that's the word. All powerful. God is all power, having unlimited power, the dictionary describes it. Unlimited power. By the way, just a little thought about the American president. Presidents don't have as much power as people think they do. Our new prime minister does not have as much power as people think he has. It doesn't work like that. But God has unlimited power. He spoke and everything came into being. Isn't that awesome? I can't understand that. I don't know that we're supposed to. We're supposed to wonder at it. There is mystery in this. I think one of the challenges of our 21st century and our thinking approach is that we've got to be able to sort of understand it before we believe it. As we go through some of this stuff, you can't understand it, neither can I. There's mystery in it. It's a faith experience. It's a wonder. A wonder at it. Having unlimited power. Sovereignty of God is historically has been a thing to divide the people of God and to scrap and fight about as to whether God can do this and, you know, man's got free will and all this kind of stuff. At the end of the day, it's to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped. He is almighty. So, here's some things about this that I wonder about. We say, and I've said it, and I know you've said it, that God can do anything. Is that true or is that true? Or is it not true? I want to share with you a couple of things that God cannot do. Literally. God cannot do literally anything. Omnipotence does not mean that God can do literally everything or anything. He cannot do what is self-contradictory or nonsense, like squaring a circle. Because they're the laws that he's put in place. He cannot act out of character. God has a perfect moral character and won't deny himself that. He cannot be unloving. He cannot be, because the essence of God is love. So when people say, well, that's God doesn't love me, or God, it's just not true. It's just not true. You cannot be loved any more or any less by God than you are at this moment. I don't care what you've done, what you haven't done. It doesn't change who God is. He cannot unlove you. It's inconsistent. He cannot just pardon sin without atonement because it's not right. He set that up. He cannot fail to be faithful and just. Moral instability. God is never has a bad hair day. People say, oh, well, God must be doing this and God must be doing that. No, if it's against the character of God, he can't do it. Now, that requires us to think about this. God just doesn't vacillate between one opinion and another. Well, I like you today, I don't like you. Well, God must not like you because you're doing this. Sometimes I've heard parents teach their children this. God doesn't like you when you do that. God likes them whether they do it or don't do it. It's something God cannot do. It's outside of who he is. God might not like your behavior. A positive way to say this. Though there are things which a holy, rational God is incapable of intending, what he intends to do, he does. In other words, it says in Psalm 135, the Lord does whatever pleases him. God planned to make the world, and he made it when he purposes to do it. God is not limited by people's choices. We live in a world where everything's done by how you feel. You know, I feel this, or I believe this, or I think that God might do this. I don't believe that God would do this, or whatever it might be. God is not conditioned. He does not need your permission, and he does not need my permission to do what he pleases. He's God. That may surprise us. He does not need our permission. He's God. Omnipotent God. So, the power of choice is a created thing. And you and I, the amazing thing is, you and I have been given that. The power of choice. But it doesn't influence who God is. One of the interesting things that I've yet to plumb the depths of it, but it's like prayer changes the mind of God. Yeah. I don't know. I'll let you think about that and ponder it. Prayer puts us in a position and changes us so that we might be conformed to the image of God and we might fulfill his purposes for us. God has given us the ability to respond to him with a yes. Ah. God is sovereign over evil. We touched on this a little bit a few weeks back. But God is sovereign over evil. If God is omnipotent, he can do everything. He's almighty. I believe in God, Father Almighty. So what about evil? What about suffering? What about poverty? What about exploitation? What about injustice? Well, God could take care of that. Why doesn't he take care of that? Well, the truth of the fact is that he is removing evil from the world. One by one, people that come to faith in Christ become changed people and start to do good on the earth. I was having a discussion with my daughter yesterday, much to the displeasure of others in the home because it went on too long, but my daughter and I have this relationship of debate. We like to stir each other up, stimulate our intellect, and go through mental exercises that are usually useless. But this one was interesting. We're talking about privilege and position on the earth, and that if you take Christianity out of the earth, of all those who are in mission, who are doing good on the earth, whether it's in trade, whether it's in relief work, whatever the mission, whether it's in education, medicine, take Christianity out of the world, and what will happen? Wow, the planet would change drastically. So God is removing evil. He is relieving suffering. He is doing all this through his people. God does not do it magically. He does it through his people. That's why he's left us here. That's why we are the body of Christ. That's why we are a mission people. That's why we are left on the planet. That's what our purpose is. However, the reality is also true that a new pain-free and disease-free body is on its way for us, as is a newly constructed heaven and earth. It's on the way. It's here, but not yet. The fullness of it is not yet. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. The kingdom of God is here, but its fullness is not here yet. We're part of the story. And I just can't wait. I'm going to prepare this groundwork, if you will. I just can't wait to get into taking a little series, God willing, but I can't wait to talk about the kingdom of God and why we're here. Looking forward to that? Just say yes. It really will be good. So, the truth is that our Father is almighty in all things, and all grace is the basis of his love toward us. He's a good God, a loving Father. And all the families on earth are based on this whole idea that God is Father and the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. And so we've got this microcosm called Mum, Dad, and 2.5 children. But it's a demonstration of what the church, of what Christ and his relationship with his people is all about. That's why there's such a huge attack on the family. That's why there's such a huge attack on marriages. That's why marriages and families are critical and hugely important in the purposes of God. Because they're a statement. They're the archetype, if you will. God is the archetype. The family is the model that works. And if it doesn't work in the Christ family, it won't work at all. Truth is always truth. So, is there something in the statement, I believe in God, Father, Almighty? Oh yeah, a lot. A lot. I better stop before I start preaching. So. Any thoughts or questions? Comments.
I have one.
As long as it's an easy one, we'll be fine.
Well, it's not so much a question, it's more probably some thoughts and something that really changed my thinking. Because when you talk as God being our Father, it's a hard thing for us to get our head around if we haven't had a good relationship with our own Father.
Right.
And I didn't have a good relationship with my own dad for quite a long time, but then that rectified. And I was also brought up in a church that was very traditional and straight, and you could do this and you couldn't do that. And it's like, as a kid, I grew up thinking God was way out there somewhere. And as I grew up as a teenager, I wanted a closer relationship with God, but I didn't know if I was allowed to have a closer relationship. I didn't know how to do that. But my heart craved something, and I didn't quite know how to get that question answered. And I remember sitting on the bed one day, probably in my 20s, thinking, God, there's this thing in my heart that I really want to be close to you, but I don't know if that's right for me to ask that. And so I remember sitting on the bed, almost in fear and trembling that God would just about strike me dead. That's how I was brought up in this church. And in quite a lot of fear, I just said, God, I'd like to call you my dad, and I'd like to have a real close relationship, but I don't know if that's right. And so for me, I actually ventured out and just said, God, if that's okay for me to have a really close relationship with you like that, would you let me know that? And it was really interesting, because as I sat there, I was just sort of, cautiously just praying to God, I felt this arm around my shoulder, and it was really weird because I thought Doug had walked into the room and put his arm around me.
I normally do that.
Yeah. But there was no one there, and all of a sudden it just, I thought there's an arm on my shoulder, I can feel it. And it was like a transforming thing for me that just broke through this world of stuff that everything was in these boxes, and this was how God was, and I couldn't change any of those boxes, and all of a sudden all those walls all came down. And it was the start of something really cool. And I guess one of the things that I would put out, you know, as a thought for us, is hearing that message and thinking, if God's our Father, do we just talk of Him as God our Father? Or could we actually maybe do an exercise this week, and when we go out on the farm or at work or at home, that we actually venture in and say, God, you're really my daddy? And see what that does to you over the week. And I guarantee it will transform you. Yeah, it's actually a, you know, something that I never ever thought that I was allowed to do. And I almost felt irreverent doing it. But if anything, it brings a real reverence for God, because you suddenly realise that you're not a number, you're not just a you're not just something on the earth, but you're someone who's very, very special to God, and it changes your whole mind towards God.
And a couple of things about that. One, the breakthrough for Ethel. The other is just the damage that legalism does in a person's life. You know, legalism is a, it's a death-dealing thing rather than life-giving. And many who are part of Bible-believing churches have grown up with this strange idea of who God is. They've never had, if we could use this language, the arms of God around them, feeling His love and His touch.
Yeah, I have to say that in my early, like, earlier days, that not all of God Almighty, I thought of Him as the God, the Creator,
yeah,
of everything, a distant God. It took a period in my life where I got into a hole where I found that God was my refuge and my strength. And there was an intimacy. You have an intimacy with God which is beyond description. He's that close to you. And so that's what I discovered over the years, like, from God being the creator of everything, still is, of course.
Yes.
But he's also a very intimate God.
Absolutely. He's both and. The most high God, and he's the most nigh God. Any other comments, questions, concerns?
I think for us, when we work with people, it's been very important to go back to the Father of God and to actually think about what it means to be a father, and to write down the father pictures that you get, and then think, is that God? Is He like that? Because you'd be surprised in all of us that we do have our own perception of what father is from our father. And sometimes we hold that lie to God. You know, like our fathers are only available at a certain time. It's a very critical one I've found. That Dad was only free on a Sunday afternoon, so therefore God's restrictive in time. And sometimes also that you had such an awe of Him that you, for a lot of them, it was totally just obedience and fear. And so therefore, to realise that that's a lie, that God is Father, is never like that.
Yeah, the scary thing is that our perception of God, particularly in the West, is primarily related to our perception of our relationship that we have with our human father. And just think of the number of absent fathers. Fathers who are biologically fathers, that's it. Or who are around. I was an absent father for a whole lot of years in our family. Work, work, work. I left before dark and arrived back after dark, and the kids were in bed. They saw me once a week, maybe. At a time when they needed to see me a little bit more often. And there's so much of what is demanded of us that we have to work hard and be creative about giving our kids time if we have children. But this whole thing about the fatherhood of God, about the orphan spirit, about what it means to be in relationship with God, it's huge. It's really something that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to have, to, you know, really spend some time with about this. Because as George says, so many have lived with the idea that God's out there, which he is, but he's also in here. And his relationship is one of Abba. Just study Jesus, that'll do it. Just look at the Gospels and look at how Jesus interacted with his daddy. That, he's the model. He didn't only come to be our Savior, he came to be our model. We done there? You know, I think today we won't have another song. Our time is pretty well done. But I'd like to pray and then we'll conclude. Is that okay? God, thank you that you are God, Father Almighty. And Lord, as these concepts are so hard to get our hands, our arms, our minds and our hearts around, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will bring revelation to us about it. And will break down the barriers and the preconceptions and the ideas from the past and the notions we have and the experiences that we've had that have been so bad and so negative in many cases and so distant in our own relationships with our earthly fathers. And Lord, that you would crash through those things and bring a revelation of Daddy God, respectfully, who is closer than a brother, who is the one that wants us to come home and feel that love again. So I pray this today in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Next Sunday.